But no man can come to thee lest you draw him. No man can direct his footsteps, Lord. We within ourselves are given free moral agency, but yet we cannot choose our destination. That is in your great sovereign hand. We can only choose, Father, that which can bless us, or that which can cause us sorrows and pains, so that these, our choices, would learn that without your choice, our choices bring us misery. Our free moral agency is just given for us to learn not to trust us, not to trust what we want or like, but what to trust that you love us and want the best for us, that we can heal it and say, Lord, thy will be done, not mine. And we believe that you are raising up wise elders, wise pastors, a wise bride to come to such a place to be afraid of themselves, afraid of what they want, what they like, what they think, what they feel. And Lord, even afraid to give advice, even afraid to make a decision, because we know how foolish we are. We know how incapable we are. And we are so comforted when the word speaks clearly on what to do. We embrace it and we are thankful for it, Lord. And we are praying this new year, Father, that you will anoint our eyes to see your perfect will, because we find safety in it. We find confidence and we find great, our hearts are at rest when we know it, and we know that that's your provided way for every decision that we need to make. May you help us, Lord, to look away from ourselves and what we desire. For Lord, we see from history of ourselves how miserable our decisions can make us. And we are so thankful for the knowledge to not trust us, not to think of ourselves as anything, but to even be afraid of ourselves. We are thankful, Father, for these truths. We are thankful for this ministry. And I pray as we give, Lord, attention to this new year, may it be, Lord, a heart that's seeking after thee, a heart that's looking to thee from where our help cometh from, a heart whose ambition has been set on things that are above, a heart, Lord, who's desperately panting after the true and living waters. I pray that you bless our elders wherever they'll be gathered tonight, wherever your flock will be gathered, Lord, bless them. Without you, we and they can do nothing. We are thanking you for all that you used us for in the year that has gone. We are thankful for all that you have accomplished. We are thankful for all that you have touched. And we are so thankful, Lord, to just be part of it and to be used of thee. There is no greater blessing for your servants but to be used of thee. And we are so appreciative that you look beyond our faults and despite ourselves use us. How amazing you are, O Lord. And I pray now as we speak about you and usher in this new year, Lord, with great expectation that you who started a good work in us and each one of us, you are more than able, Lord, to bring us to the conclusion that's in your mind. Thank you, Father. Bless us now and wherever they'll be listening in, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'm so happy to be with you this ending of this old year and to be giving birth to be alive in this new year, knowing that God has saved us because there's still much work he can do in us and through us, each one of us. If you have your Bibles, I invite you now to the book of Psalms 34 and 11. I want to read three portions of scripture. I'm going to start here. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. There's a second one here that I want to read. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ear are open unto his cry. And the one that, two more I really like, but Brother Norman is, I'm sure, has made it aware of you. Invest in the truth, or buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. One more portion of scripture also I'll quote, Proverbs 22 and 4, which is, by fear of the Lord and humility comes riches, honor, and life. You may be seated. I greet you, I greet the elders, I greet the ones that are listening in. I also bring you greeting from Brother Lambert and his wife, who told me that they're so missing being here, but they made some plans. And before early the year, I decided we were not going to have any conventions because financially it's a little hard to have them so close for everyone. And so just thinking about it, and then the Lord just placed it on my heart. Brother Hine told me, he said, Brother Tony, some of the elders still want to come. And I said, I was at Brother Mitch, and I said, you know what, it'd be a good idea, Lord willing, if they would like to visit and to meet some of the believers and see the work. And so it was all in the will of the Lord. And so we are thankful for that. I also want to greet some people. I never take the time to do it, but I know that they will eventually be listening in, or they will play it over. But I want to say also greetings to Brother Devanan and Sister Maria in the flock in Trinidad, one of the flocks. There's one in the south of the country, which is Brother Henry Amagam. To him, his family, and the flock, I greet you and pray that the Lord choose his blessing upon you and your ministry. And Brother Devanan and Sister Maria, who is really faithful and really dedicated to the Lord, I pray for them and his helper, Brother Sheldon and Sister Pooja. Also, I just would like to also, for the greeting's sake, I'd like to also greet Brother Dennis Lee, who had intentions to come, but because of different concerns, even some financial, that was not be able to make it possible. So we pray that the Lord will also bless him. Amen. And so, Lord willing, I just want to talk a little bit about continuing speaking a little bit about the grace of God to us, to even enlighten us to who we are. If he does not identify who we are, how would we know who we are? So to identify something, you must have a standard. You must have something that you know, characteristics that you know, qualities that you know, some identifying features or traits. And unless he tells us what those qualities are, how would we be able to measure ourselves? And so what we find is, in the world that we are living today, we have what is called identity crisis. We have gender crisis. We have professional crisis, whereby you have many, even doctors, claiming that they are doctors. But the world is filled up with lawsuits, medical lawsuits everywhere. We have churches that claim to be the churches of the living God. They have identity crisis. Because if there was no identity crisis, why would people go to a false church? But they are claiming to be the true church, and therefore people go there and they identify themselves with it. So there is gender crisis. People don't know who they are gender-wise. They look like someone, but they feel differently. And I don't put that down. I don't say every one of them is bad. People, we're not saying that, but we are saying that Satan has perverted the biology, the humanity, the human nature. He has perverted it in such a manner that they don't know really who they are. And you might have heard me speak a little bit about that, about how the food that we are eating, the water that we are drinking, the environment, that the air that we are breathing, the soaps that you're using, the creams that you're using, the everything, your body is like a sponge. It absorbs, it brings it into the bloodstream. Your detergent, you use your clothes, you wash your clothes with, and you think it's all clean. That residue remains in your shirts. When you sweat, it gets wet. It draws in those chemicals. In your body is toxin. In your body is heavy metals. In your body is poison. In your body is insecticides, pesticides. But you don't. They don't want you to know those things. These chemicals that you use, that you feel so safe about, the water that you drink from the tap, they'll never show you what's inside of those public pipes, how they treat it. These things are not conscious to us without a prophet and his message. There are people who are not Christians who are conscious of it. And we sometime in the old days, we used to call them health freaks. But they were onto something. And thank God for a prophet who brought these things to our minds. And so what Satan is doing, he has a secret. He knows the secret. Two things he knows. He knows the pattern of God. And that secret is he wants a people to have preeminence in. So if he can get a people reprogrammed, he can get them, get their attention easier, and he can get them to do his will easier. And he plans to do that by altering the human race, by altering what God designed in your original DNA. Your original DNA is human, and in it, it's an intelligence. It's been programmed. Your DNA is programmed codes. In there is the program that kicks in for motherhood. You don't have to be taught how to be a mother. Normally, it's instinctive, like an animal. It's programmed how they protect their young, how they nurse it, how they know when to set it free, when to let it go. Good parenting knows when to let go. They know when they've done a good job. If Sister Jill does a good job with Sister Anna, then she knows when to let go. If they don't let go, it's because they don't trust the work that we did. You see? But you let them go when you have taught them everything they need to know how to survive in the role that God called them to play. And then you trust them to play those roles. Then the relationship changes where you begin to see them like a woman and you see them like a man. If Sister Jill is still seeing Sister Anna, then Sister Jill, I didn't do a good job. And even though we love to mother them, they must come of age where we are proud to see them take their place just like we did in our own time. But these things are instinctive. In our human nature, it's instinctive that we love our children. We don't have to try, no matter how they look. I mean, they look like Bugs Bunny, you still love them. Instinctive, it's built in. You love your own, that which is of you. And you've probably heard me over the years speak about the Hebrew word for compassion. It is the word rechem. It means that you could really only have compassion when it comes out of your own womb. The word compassion and the word womb in the Hebrew is the self same. And that is why, you know, the story of Solomon, everybody listens to the story or the wisdom of Solomon, but Solomon knew a whole lot more. The story has an understory with it. You know the story of the woman who had her child, and two women, and one of them ruled and smothered their child and died, and in the middle of the night, the woman exchanged the child, one for the other. And when the woman got up, she knew that that was not her child. They took it to the court, the Supreme Court, of course. The highest court in the land, Solomon. Supreme Court case. Precedent being set in Israel. A precedent being set. And they both claimed a child. And so Solomon said, get me a sword. And I'll cut the child in half. Instinctively, by nature, the mother was willing to give up the child. You say, give up the child. Sometimes giving up the child is the very evidence of how much you love the child. Not how much you don't want to love the child, but how much you love the child. See, and so we are called, that instinct is there all the time, that a mother gives up rights of the very child that they nurse, gives up right because they love the child so much, they know the child is time now to. You see, instinctively those things are in there. And Solomon said, give me the sword, I'll cut the child in half. Because the child came from her womb, she can have real compassion. But it didn't come from the other woman. She said, go ahead, cut him in half. See? But I use that to say this. Look around in our generation. Motherhood is not motherhood like it used to be. Women give birth to children today. Don't have the instinct. They don't have the love. They don't have the... It's not kicking in. The reason for that is not that they are bad people. It's because Satan is altering human nature by altering the DNA. And he does that through hormones and steroids and chemicals and pesticides. If I look around here, including myself right now, every single one of us is on the, except for Brother Roy, we have a little obesity problem. I hide mine. I don't know about you. You think that was 40 years ago, 50 years ago? You think the statistic was like that? It's our food. It's the processed foods, the sugars. I'm not trying to just get you to eat right. I'm trying to tell you that the human race is rotten. And the humanity, the things that cause us to love one another, care, to be sympathetic, to be mindful, to be, that is eroding away, but we don't know. Without this message, you hear the prophet say, the whole human race is rotten. He said, if your cells are rotting, would not your brain cells? You have so many women who are married, they're good women, and their husband, they can't live with their husband. Because they're mental. They're happy with them today. They go to the bedroom, get a shower, come back out, and they... What happened to you? What did I do? And they don't know why they're upset. They don't know why they're angry. They don't know why. It's just bipolar all the time. Schizophrenic. See, what is it? We're living in an age where the human race is just... You say, what are they leaning to? Okay, they're not human. What are they leaning? More animalistic. More with less compassion, ruthless, violent, wicked, evil, loving evil, loving more violence, loving more. They want reality blood now. They don't want to just see a movie act out. They want to see the real thing. Women don't love or want a decent man. She wants a man with a tattoo and has been in jail at least one time. See, the humanity is gone. And it's all based on food. Well, I'll tell you the same thing. Food is causing identity crisis because the rotten food is altering your natural genetics. So is perverted doctrines and teaching. It's causing identity crisis. People who don't even look like a Christian is saying, I'm in church. Preachers who don't even have a life or a gift is saying, we're preachers. So we are in the most deceptive age there is because we don't know what is real. We don't know what is real. So what is real for you today is not real for the ones who gather somewhere else. and we all lay in claims. So today I just want to talk a little bit for the new year and encourage you, if you find a water hole, if you find a place that can give you food that can alter your spiritual man in such a way that it can make you live above the carnal flesh. Now I'm going to see how important that is. The Bible says, can you put scripture up for me? I'm just going to read it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this scripture has been laying there all the time in our Bible, but it needed a prophet to bring it clear to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And, oh my goodness, is that the right time? That's the right time. Well, I've got to hurry really bad. Knowing this, that in the last days perilous time shall come. Now, why the last days? For men shall be lovers. You mean for 6,000 years men were not lovers of themselves? Covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy. Wait a minute. You mean only in this end time men are like that? Without natural affection, that means what God programmed in the humanity to desire, they don't want that. They want the things that is unnatural for human to want. That's what they want. Now, what makes you crave things? What makes you crave things? What makes a dove only eat grain but has no craving for meat? It's the nature God gave it. But you start playing with that nature, it's going to crave for things because it's not original nature anymore. It's been altered. It's been changed. So humanity, this scripture cannot, and there's no way for them to understand this scripture, no matter how much they read it, without a prophet coming to tell you the human race is rotten. It's rotten through the hormones, the steroids, the chemicals, the pesticides, the water. And it's changing us in such a way that it creates these. What is normal? Let's go up to the beginning. I just want to show you. You see, this should be normal. Obedient to parent should be normal. That should be a normal thing, a natural thing. It's not. You mean only in this age they are disobedient to parent? You mean only in this age they are unthankful? Unholy? I thought man was unholy from the beginning. Unless this scripture is specifically telling us about a time when the human race will be so altered that this becomes the qualities of Cain children easily. And if you have Cain's children, they will produce a Satan's Eden. With all natural affection, false accusers, incontinent, despiseful to those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Brother Bram said denying the power means denying the revelation. You can't, if you deny the revelation, it's because you deny the absolute. From such turn away. All right, so this is an identity crisis for humanity, identity crisis for believers. Let me do one more. Let's go to Romans 1:21. This scripture goes equally with Romans 1. Romans 1:21. Let's look at it. And I've got to do some reading quickly. So, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. The only identification of God was in their midst. That's why the prophet could preach a message on recognized presence of God. He was thoroughly vindicated. Right here, God, the prophet in the rapture message makes a complete clear statement. When you see the God of heaven come down and stand before men and declare himself as he ever did. Black and white statement, rapture message. Who do you say this is? Not who do you say that, not that, this is. God thoroughly vindicated himself like he did with Moses, identifying himself in the presence of humans. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Now, you say, these are so far away from humanity. No, 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 no. This is a people living in a certain time, who has a people who has been altered, has been perverted, a people who has been designed to have no fear of God, no respect for God. They are designed that way. Professing themselves to be wise, and knowledge shall go to and fro. That's the end time. Today, their Holy Ghost is Google. Google has replaced it. They become fools. What is a fool? A fool despises correction. Fool has said in his heart, there is like no God. And Brabham said, he interprets that. He said, they act like there is no God. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. This have a compound meaning. The glory that God gives to man, he give man conscience. Animals don't have conscience. Animal doesn't know they're naked. He give man human qualities that animals don't have. Human understanding that animals don't have. Communication in a way that animals don't have. An ability to meet, to talk and to fellowship with God in a way animals don't have. But when you see Walt Disney take human qualities and put it in a dog and let the dog get in love with another dog and they get married and they have pups and then they go and you are crying. You take the image which God said, let us make man in our image, and then you relegate it down into animals, into wolves, into beasts. Is God glorified in that? It's right before us, and they do it right. Hollywood does it right before us, and we don't even know it. See? And the whole world. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies or their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. There's only one truth, the message of the hour. And worship and serve the creature. Who is the creature? Lucifer, Satan. Well, how do you serve a creature that you don't see? Rabbam said, when you believe Satan's lie, you serve him. And the lie that the Son of God is Almighty God, the creation of Son, the Son was a beginning, they make him the creator. Therefore, your God, their God has a beginning, our God don't. The creature born and the creator who is blessed forever. For this cause, because you glorify creation and not the creator, then the creation. For this cause, God has a vile affection. For even the woman did change her natural use into that which. So, creation, you worship creation. And Brother Bam said they worship the woman who is not before the man, but came after the man. You see? In fact, the man is her creator in that sense, her father, her source. But no, they changed it now. That's like the Son was not in the beginning, in eternity. But when he came forth, he came out of the Father, yet they worshiped the Son. The woman came out of the man, but now they worship the woman. See, it's the same spirit. Natural affection. Okay, likewise, man usually lose. Okay, let's go to our notes quickly. I have to do quickly. I want to share two things with you. When you find a watering hole, you find a ministry, a pastor that can feed you, a man who will give you the waters of life and give you the bread of life, that will strengthen the inner man. And the inner man will desire the things that God desires for him. It will trigger him to only desire the things that God desired for him. And that will satisfy him. Nothing else will satisfy him. You see? And then when you get into that right nature, which is the new birth nature, being feeding on the right things, it will produce the right kind of man that will love his Father, his God, will not take his name in vain, who will not make any image of any man or any Hollywood anything his image to measure by. He will honor the baptism of the Holy Ghost, his Sabbath, his rest. He will honor his wife, his church, the church of the living God. He will not steal the time of prayer and the time of family and the time of church and worship and give it to employers and employees to work 80 hours a week instead of 40, and you wouldn't rob the time. He would not steal, you see? And so you can begin to see, I know you've heard these things before. So when you do that, when you find a ministry like that, then the only thing that you do to really get the benefit of it is humility and fear before it, respects. You give it the respects. And then everything else, riches, honor, and life will follow you. Watch carefully. What do you do about it, Brother Branham? I have to respect it. I'm an American citizen. I do what the big bosses say do. If a family ever lose respect for the family, the children lose respect for the parents. The prophet is saying that. That family is torn to pieces. Same thing. Anytime an officer, anytime a pillar, anytime somebody of the government of the church begins to disrespect one another or disrespect the elder of the church, a pastor, then that church is gone. You see? And that is why disrespect and rebellion goes together. And I say this in the nicest way. If you have someone who is disrespectful to your pastor, disrespectful to, openly disrespectful, and you've gone through the process one time, two times, the best thing to do is ask that person to leave. Because if you don't, rebellion and disrespect spreads. It spreads quickly. When Noah's son disrespected him, right away he cursed him. That was the end of that. When Dathan and Korah disrespected Moses, God says, separate yourself, and he swallowed them up. Because if he leaves it long enough, it spreads. You see? So you don't want your children disrespecting your father. If you have more than one children and one of them is disrespecting their dad, if you don't deal with that right away, the others are going to follow. It will tear the family apart. You see? And you have something that is wonderful, but And I'm talking to even the churches, the many who will hear this. The one thing that can destroy you is disrespect and rebellion. It brings destruction in your home. It brings destruction in your church. It's the spirit of destruction. You see, how do you know that? Disrespect and rebellion is what Lucifer started with. If you respect God as God, you will never rebel against him, because you respect him for who he is and the office that he has. Again, a family tore apart. If a church ever loses respect for its pastor, why? That church is gone. And if a nation ever loses respect for the Supreme Court and its decision, that nation is gone. That's exactly right. We've got to respect those things because they are the big bosses. I want you to look again. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift, and by he being dead, yet speaketh. I want you to notice something. The declaration that he was righteous was not based on his conduct. Righteousness is not based on your conduct. Righteousness is based on your revelation. Abel's revelation was right. Therefore, he was righteous. If your revelation is wrong, you are unrighteous. So righteousness is different from holiness. And any time you equate righteousness with holiness, you just took away revelation. It is your faith, it is your revelation in Christ, the Son of God, that God declares you righteous. In fact, you're declared righteous while you are still miserable in your flesh. Even you who believe today that you are justified, you know you never did it, and tomorrow you'll do something. It is by faith. It is by revelation. And it's called the law of imputation. God imputes righteousness to you if your revelation is right. He declares you righteous. So Abel, because he had the right revelation of his day, his service was acceptable because his revelation was right, and God said he was righteous. God testifying. Now I want to ask you, if you have a pastor who teaches you the right concepts of God and you have the right revelation of the hour, which is the doctrine of Christ, can you be declared unrighteous or are you righteous? You are righteous. You are the righteous as Abel by revelation. I'm not saying it. Brother Branham interprets that word by faith. He said by revelation, Abel offered unto God, whereby he was declared he was righteous. I want to ask you, Ephesian bride, do you have the right revelation? Do you have the doctrine of Christ for your day? Then I don't care how miserable your flesh is. You are declared righteous. You say people are going to take advantage of that. Yeah, let them do it. They are not wiser than God, and you can't fool God. All right? God will use it to correct them, chastise them, teach them, give them experience, whatever it is. We cannot say, look what that person is getting away with because they're so... No. God allows that to happen to check you. What are you going to do about that? You see? Now again, being dead, yet speak it. Now, again, two things in this verse. He is declared righteous by God, right? And then also it tells me that that righteous one can talk to God. And he was even talking to God. Even after his death, God was hearing him. God was hearing Abel even after he was dead. He being dead, yet speak it. If you have a pastor who has taught you and is teaching you the doctrine of Christ, whereby you have faith in the life carrying doctrine for your day, you are righteous. And if you know that you're righteous, you don't have to worry about the dead, because right here it tells me if you by faith, by revelation, understand what I'm saying, you never have to worry about your destination. It is secured as Abel was secured. And I'm bringing you to this point. And the point is, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the who? Of all. His eyes is not on the oneness. His eyes are not on the polygamous. His eyes are not on the two soul. His eyes are upon the righteous. That's you. His eyes are upon them. And his ear is open to their cry. Why? Because you can't have unrighteous priests. Are you kings and priests? Then you are the righteous. And if you don't know who you are, you will not have confidence in your prayer. And if you are believing that this makes you righteous for him to hear your prayer, then you have not been taught right. When you are righteous, it's because you have the right revelation. If you have the right revelation, it's because God gave you a gene. If God gave you a gene, that's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you have the baptism, you are in Christ. And when you pray, God don't hear you. God hears Christ. He don't hear you. It's not your voice he's hearing. You say, it's my petition. Everything you say in faith, the Son of God repeats it back. Because he's the high priest of your what? Confession. Every time you pray, anytime you're in faith, you're the righteous, the Son of God repeats it back. Because he is the high priest of your confession. Confession means to say it again. Is that right? That's why, friends, if there's anybody who's going to pray and be heard, it's the bride. Is the righteous, is the Ephesian bride. And I say to you, we need your prayer. This year, this fivefold ministry needs your prayer, because your prayer, God's eyes are upon you and his ear is open to your prayer. And you will not know what a praying people and a praying church and a praying bride around the world can do to a fivefold ministry. Rapture in faith comes by hearing. Hearing, you must have a preacher. You must have a fivefold. Even you are dependent on them. But friends, I'm telling you, your prayer is what will keep them. Keep them and anoint them and give and ask God to give them more favor, more wisdom, more knowledge. For who? For you. Because if you pray for wisdom, which is a very good thing to pray for, above all things, wisdom is the principal thing. In all like getting, get wisdom. If you pray for wisdom, it does not come to you. It comes to him and then it comes to you. So you're praying for him. But I want to show you how important your prayer is. Of all the preachers in this age, William Branham was the righteous. He had the right revelation. And his prayer had priority over Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Jack Cole, you name it. Is that not true? Well, I say to you, your prayer has priority over everyone else. If you will know who you are and if you believe. If you judge yourself the way the Word judges you, not what you want the Word to judge you by, but what the Word says is its standard for righteousness. And with a people like you behind the fivefold, knowing who you are and praying for the missionaries, praying for the apostles, praying for the pastors, praying for the elders, then I believe that we could be so much further up the road this new year by God's grace. Because his ear is open to your cry. And I believe that when you start knowing who you are and exercising the rights that you have and the priority that God has given you in your prayer, I believe that's another step closer of an Enoch walk, because you go more to him in prayer. You talk more with him. Your prayer life increases. That means that your relationship with God will grow more. And if you are praying for his people and his work, if that is your burden, that is his desire. His desire is a bride. And there's what you're interceding for. His people, his purchased blood, his possession. And when you begin to take desire for God's family, God's people, God's children, you watch and see how God will take care of your children. When you start praying for your spiritual husband and spiritual leader, you watch and see how God will bless your husband and bring him into the kind of man that you're looking for. Because that's what he will do with your pastor because of your prayer. We need you. We need you to know who you are. We need you to know how important your prayers are. We need an Ephesian bride who knows who she is and how important she is. You're not just there to be in the pew. This will not continue all the time. One day, we will walk the same. Our minds will be the same. And that's our job, to bring you to where we are. To be prayerful about the spiritual multiplication. And if you are who you say you are, then there are some things that you must understand also. Because you're growing up. And if you're growing up, your body is going through a lot of things. People are saying a lot of things. And when you come to a certain age, like a teenager, and you'll be just between, you're not a child anymore, you're not a young boy, you're just between a young man and a man. You're somewhere there, between a young woman and a woman. It's the most confusing thing because what peer pressure is so important, what people say about you, what people think, how they look at you. You become so conscious of self. Like even a church goes through that. They think we are ugly. They think we are wrong. They think we are a cult. They think we are, that matters to some. It's according to where in the age you are. And if you don't begin to see that if you are that elect bride and you're in that young position just before maturity, you're in that position where you care so much about what other ministers think in a message and people are saying about you or your church family or your family. And then I say to you, that's normal. That's normal. But how you are taught to handle that in the Word, now that's where we come in. I want you to notice, I just read these notes. Our journey and our destiny. I know how you are spoken of and taught of, not only here in Durban, but wherever the true revelation of this message is believed and taught, you are rejected. You're not taught of well, are you? You experience my spelling there. It's a good way to correct. Spoken evil of. You're looked at as false worshippers. Notice, because of this Godhead capstone revelation, the doctrine of Christ for this age, this is the principal theme of the Bible, the principal theme of the age. You are the most despised people there is in Durban. Well, in fact, I'm speaking to everywhere there is a Durban in type in every country, in every place. You're not alone. Here's what the scripture said. I know thy works and tribulation. And poverty. I know your tribulation. You think God, his eyes are upon the righteous, is that right? Don't you think he knows your tribulation? Don't you know he knows your condition? Your testing, your trying? He knows it. But that thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews. Here's your identity crisis. Brother Bram interpreted that. Say they believed that they were the true church. They were calling themselves the real thing. Identity crisis. And are not, but are the gathering of Satan. Now, are you the righteous? Have you found God's provided way and place for the Ephesian church? Well, then you are guarded. You're guarded by him. Now, if you are guarded unto him, where does the oneness guarded unto? See, you if you don't know how dangerous it is, if you don't know that it might look the same and their affection and their love and their sincerity, if you use that measuring stick and don't use the word, it will catch your humanity. And it's the job of the ministry to separate the priesthood, what is clean and what is unclean, what is of God and what is not of God. You cannot be of God and be of God too. Then you just have a really filthy God. He's just having children with a lot of dirty women, false doctrine. I don't think you want to make our Heavenly Father like that. And then what can happen? If you are a very gifted elder, or you're in a church and where you are being so persecuted, so spoken evil of, so, then you look over and you see they must be right. Look how many people is there. And look how they are being blessed. And look how they're, you know, their numbers boom. And look at the kind of car the pastor is driving. Look at the kind of house. And look at the people, how they're all happy. And guess what? They don't have to stay in church for 2 and 3 hours, 45 minutes, and look how much they're being blessed. And even a righteous man like David had a confusion in his heart and his mind. David said this in Psalm 73, he said, "For I was envious at the foolish." Are you foolish, virgin? Are you them that are? "And when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Who is David looking at? The Hittite, the Jebusite? No, right in Israel. David is a man after God's own heart. And here, for there are no bands in their death. In other words, there's no weaknesses. They just die. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Who are other men like you? He says that the foolish and the wicked. He's talking about, you're in trouble, pastor, that are my business, pastor this, pastor that, pastor this. You have trouble. Over there, no trouble. "Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compassed them." We must be of God. We are the bride, brother. We don't need all those deep things. We just love one another. Look how the Lord is blessing us. Bright skies, no rain, no cloud. Hey, 20 people could leave their church. Nobody says anything. One person leave here. I heard you had a split. You see, not only is the eyes of the Lord upon you, the eyes of the wicked is also on you. You are the target. You are the real. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lofty. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walk it through the earth. "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." Laodicea. I know you say Laodicea is Pentecost. No, if you are not born again in this message, you are Laodicea. I don't care what you say. Only if you're in Christ, you're not in Laodicea. You've been smitten out. "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain." And you're saying, boy, here's Brother Louis could be saying, "You know what? I could have a great ministry. People like me. I can manage people. I went and I followed this Godhead and this apostolic thing, and now look, I could have been a really wealthy man. I could have had the biggest church in Durban." That's crossing David's mind. "Surely I suffered all of this in vain. Because look how they prosper. Look at the size of church and ministry they have." I want you, where you find yourself, between a young man or young woman and womanhood in your spiritual life, because you will have to come through this. And if you're a young minister and elder and you haven't counted up the cross, this will come to your mind. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocent. For all the day long I have been plagued, chastened every morning. If I say, you see them in their church do all sorts of stuff. Their people go everywhere, do all sorts of worldly things. They get away with it. But if you are elect and you do it, you get caught. you get in trouble. You don't get away with anything. But they get away. Their children get away. Their ministers get away. But not you and I. No, 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 no. Because who the Lord loves, he chastens. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should all offend against the generation of thy children. I'm bound on both sides. If I myself want to do something, what will happen to your children? I'll hurt them. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. So don't look at what they, don't look at what is happening. Look at what the end of their promise is. David is teaching us, and God is teaching us, that the way of the righteous is a way of persecution. It's not the way of plenty. Proverbs. Be not thou envious against the evil men, neither desire to be with them. Remember, I gave you a definition of evil this morning in 2 John 1. Them that deny the doctrine of Christ, violated. He said, be not partakers with them, lest you'll be guilty of their evil deeds. For their hearts studied destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Always, because the wicked doesn't look wicked. They look so blessed. For there shall be no reward to the evil man, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Watch now. These things, these are the wise now. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. If you are wise, you judge righteous judgment. You don't judge who is a big person, small person. If they're guilty, they're guilty. If they're righteous, they're righteous. And the thing that I want to say most of all, that is going to be the difference between us and them, is wisdom. It's your wisdom that will keep you. It's your wisdom will give you the ability to discern and to make the right choices and to think the right way. It's your wisdom. Wisdom is more than important than anything else that you can think of. Where can it be found? The Bible asks. You know the scriptures. I don't going to go through there. So you know the subject's quite clear. But I want to say this. Wisdom is what the bride looks for. That's what ministers and pastors and apostles want to impart, is wisdom. Because if you are wise, nobody can deceive you. If you are wise, nobody can trick you, because you've got discernment. Watch very carefully. Most people look for riches of gold and silver. The Bible calls it ruby and onyx and diamonds and precious stones. But God equates that to wisdom. It is more precious than ruby. It's more precious than gold. Because with your money, you can buy the best wedding ring. But wisdom, what it cannot do is buy you a happy marriage, but wisdom can. It can buy you the most comfortable bed there is, that you can sleep on, but it cannot guarantee you rest. But wisdom can. Money can, you can make a living, but you cannot make a life with money. But wisdom can. The principal theme of the bride's life is wisdom. You can go to the best of doctors with money, but they cannot guarantee healing. But wisdom can. Because wisdom knows how to access the great physician. Again, he that said unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nation shall abhor him. When you say, when we talk about oneness and how they are deceiving the people and they are Baal worship and idolaters, if we don't declare evil, unclean, false doctrine, the false church, if we don't, one day you will curse us. And if you want to declare them righteous, then the people will curse you. Because at the judgment, what would they say? They will say like that woman who looked up at her pastor when she realized the chains and demons were coming for her. She said, "You deceiver, you deceived me." She already began to curse him. But unto them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. I can't hear you. A good blessing. You say, Brother Louis, you're too critical. Brother Louis, you're talking about all these ministers. They're good men. You call them good, and the people will curse you eventually when the time comes. Oh, we want to be loved. We want to be, why can't we get along? You're in the wrong message. God could have told Cain and Abel, get along. No, God knew that Cain was going to kill Abel for the revelation, still give Abel the revelation. Still give it. Because if you are not willing to stand up for the truth, if you're not willing to count up the cost of it, even to your life, even to your husband leaving you, your children running from home, then you are not worthy of it. Remember these scriptures, Proverbs 24:24 and Proverbs 21:5. Next time you find fault with a preacher. See, because in Durban, everybody is so married up with each other. You call it pumpkin vine. Somebody's got somebody in that church. Somebody got in that church. Somebody know this pastor. Somebody, and they're all nice. This is not humanity. This is the plan of God. And I say this new year, if you want to be blessed, then lean on the sides of wisdom. Lean on the side of honoring your elders. Lean on the side, because David said, come, little children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. And when you have respects for the Lord and what God is saying to you, then brother, sister, that's where God blesses you. That's where a house can be blessed. Having not respects where it destroys the home, it builds up your home. It builds up your church. It builds up the kingdom. Now, there's a few more because I have a closing point here. The righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Righteous art thou, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee in of thy judgments. Wherefore do the way of the wicked prosper. I want to talk to you about the word. I want to talk to you. Even Jeremiah said, look, Lord, I want to talk to you, the righteous. How come the wicked prosper? What about the righteous? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously, deceive the people, do wrong things, and they're prospering? Their ministry is prospering. Their church is prospering. So let's take a look at that for this new year, and expect that when we see things that seem to hurt us and cause sorrow and grief, if you look at it the right way, you would see that God is in your side. He's on your side. Troubles, trials, and persecution is part of God's way of developing wisdom, understanding, character, and strength. It keeps us looking to God. It keeps us prayerful. Keeps us close to the cross and reminds us of our justified condition by faith and faith alone. I want you to notice now, we are on this journey. I want you to see who you are. And his brethren also went and fell before his face and said, behold, we be thy servants. This is the people that betrayed Joseph. These are the people that was jealous of Joseph. This is the people who hated Joseph. I said to you, the Ephesian bride is the Joseph of this day. She is covered with the Father's rainbow covenant. She is the delight of his eye. She is that class of people who knows that she is going to be sitting on a throne like Joseph knew it was revealed to him. And if you know that, then you notice Joseph never complained along the way. He never complained when he went to jail. He never complained when he was falsely accused. He never complained all the way his persecution. You never find Joseph complaining. He already saw the end. He believed in the vision that all those sheaves will bow before me. If you believe that you are that Ephesian, if you believe that you will sit on the throne, if you believe you will judge angels, then let them do as they may. I already know. I believe. But to get there, you've got to go through the halls of critics. You've got to go through looking and seeing how the wicked who works against the kingdom, work against the truth, work against the people, and they prosper. Hear what it says. And his brethren also went and fell before his feet, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. And watch the New Testament. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are the real bride, the real church, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them come and worship at thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Yes. You see, what comforted David, I saw their end. Yeah. David said, I saw their end. I went to the sanctuary of God and I saw their end. And I say to you today that if you could see their end is no matter how much they hate you, how much they say, amen, you're false and you're this and you're that and amen, you're following an Indian man. Well, of course you have an Indian man there. But you will see them, same people come and say, we are but your servants. And they will worship at your feet. God will give you the satisfaction to show them, this is my elect, and they were the believers. They were the bride. They are the truth. This new year, don't be discouraged. I don't care what happens. I don't care what persecution. I don't care what trouble come. You know the end. Hear what Joseph said. And when Joseph came home, he brought him the present which was in their hand, in their house, and bowed himself down to him, to the earth. There, now they are honoring him. From dishonoring him to honoring him. To hating him, to needing him. To speaking evil of him, now being afraid of him. Because they know he's the real thing. One day to come, they will know that you are the real thing in Durban. And he spake of them, of their welfare, and said, is your father well? The old man whom he spoke, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father is in good health, yet he is alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Watch carefully now. Watch very carefully. I know this message is very hard, especially for a country like Durban, where you are so mixed up in different churches. You move from place to place. This church is different in many ways. It came out all in one, but yet they are intermarried so many different ways, so many different lodges. But I want to tell you, sorry, Brother Louis. Hey, what shall I do here? 15 minutes, we'll do communion. Thus say the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They belong to you. What do you want to do with them? What do you want to do with this people? What do you want to do with them here? What do you want to do with this one? They'll come before you. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, and there is no God, but the one that you worship, and the one that you serve. You see, friends, God don't ever allow his children to be humiliated without a reason. Your humiliation, your scoffing, your persecution, amen, is part of your development. I want you to notice what happened to Joseph. You are being trained as that Joseph. You see, Joseph, you can have the ability. God can give you the gene and put you on a throne. But you see, if you don't have any character, you'll destroy yourself on the throne. Because power apart character is satanic. Look at the character of Joseph. Look what he showed us in the word. Joseph came. And here's a man now. He's got a good job. His boss likes him. He's the most important. Next to the owner of the business, Joseph is the most trusted man. He's like the assistant manager or a director. He has everything going for him. He has a good job. He has favor with his boss. And even his boss's wife wants him. Now Joseph could say, see this? Let me think now. If I don't go with her, I'll mess up. If I go with her, I mess up. But if I go with her, maybe I have the best world. She'll be happy, he is still happy, and I am very happy. You see, he had to choose between character and integrity or compromise. And that's where every one of you this new year must focus on. You're on a journey to a destination. And that destination can only arrive if your character arrives. Your thinking has to change about persecution. Your thinking has to change about trials and about suffering. You've got it. Your thinking. If your thinking change, your action change. Your action change, your habits change. If your habits change, your character will change. And if your character has changed, you're ready for your destination. You're ready for the throne. How you look at what's going through in your life. If you see this as permanent, well then everything. If you see it as a simulator to try you, to test you, well then you'll make it. Because you know it's not real. Again, notice it. The sons also of them that afflict thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the sole of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of Jehovah, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. All through the scripture, they are comfort for the people to say, yes, you had afflicted. Yes, the children afflict you. Yes, your enemies afflicted you. Yes, they persecuted you. Yes, they took advantage. And I never stopped them. That's what he's saying. I never stopped them from doing it. I let them do it. But then at the end, I want to show you their end. They are right by your feet. This is God's way. Why fight against it? Embrace it this year. Learn that peer pressure and what people think is not as important as the journey to your destination. Our God, who never changes, a type of our enemy at the white throne, when they come to know we are the true bride, the true sons and true daughters of God, they will come to know that. They will come to know it. Look at Paul showing a shadow of the white throne. He said, and Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly. You see, openly uncondemned, being Romans, and having cast us into prison. And now they trust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. Paul said, no. We went through all of this beating and strife, and now they want to quietly. When they know who we are, we know we are Romans. Well, no, when they come to know that we are the bride, it will not be covered up either. It is going to be made known. And the sergeant told these words unto the magistrate. And watch carefully. And they feared when they heard they were Romans. What do you think they're going to do when they come to know that you are the true bride? Well, I'll tell you what, the foolish virgin still had something in them. They're going to come to you, the ones who are saying, oh, you all have all those deep things. Why don't you love one another? Because they don't have the revelation. You see, why don't you just love one another? Oh, we're not into all these deep things. You all are so intellect. But when they come to recognize they don't have it, the Bible said they come looking for the oil. Who do you think they're going to come looking for? Watch carefully. Let us endure. Let us believe in the journey. Let us embrace the journey this year. Let us understand we know the end of them and us. Watch. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. Note, they will come to know us and fear. Watch Esther. And in every province and in every city, wherever the king's command and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for they feared the Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. What did they fear? Oh, they had a day that they can kill them. Haman made sure of that. Because once the decree went out of a king's mouth of the Medes, they couldn't take it back. So they said, okay, go ahead and kill them. But then the Lord turned it around and said, no, they can defend themselves. And when they heard the decree that the king's favor was with the Jews, they converted to Jews. I wonder what will happen at the White Throne Judgment when they come to know that you are the queen and you have the favor of the king. I wonder what will happen to them. That's how they'll end up outside of the city. They say, no, you are the queen. Watch again. Watch the white throne. Watch it carefully. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. In other words, Joseph is saying, you see all those wicked things you did? Now I am in the place of God. I know you're afraid, but I am in the place of God. That's 1 Corinthians 6. Paul said it the same way. He said, know you not, you will judge angels? You can't judge a little matter. You're the church. You'll judge angels. What does that mean? I will be in the stead of God speaking the judgments. Don't worry. They could judge you false. You will have the final judge. They say you're not the true bride. They say that how you're... Leave it alone. Because one day you will stand in the place of God. But you must go through it. You have to enjoy it. It is for your character development. It is for your testing. It's for your trying. It is for your journey to come to an end. But as for you, ye taught evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And the white throne judgment, because of you, lots of people are going to enter into the white throne, outside of the city, because of you, because you will be instead of God. I can't hear you. All your grandma and your auntie who does puja, they'll be there. But all the puja, of course. Note the foolish virgin. Note, they know who is worshiping the true God. Watch Job now. Watch a type of them. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. You were calling Job done secret wicked. You are accusing my servant and saying, oh, you have secret sin. Oh, yes, you're not really a righteous man. He said, now you made all those accusations. Now you go take your sacrifice, bring it to my servant, and let him pray for you. See, it's okay. You can let them speak. But God never stopped them from doing it. Because God is going to show in the end who is his own. For I will accept, for Joe my servant, to pray for you. For him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly and throw you into hell. That's your white throne there. And ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz and Temanite and Bildad and the Shuhite And Zophar and Naamanite went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job, what he did for them. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That's your white throne. If you lose mother for the kingdom's sake, if you lose father for the kingdom's sake, if you lose children for the kingdom's sake, he will restore it back to you. He said, who? Which one of you? He said, Lord, we have followed after thee. We have left houses and lands and family. He said, but it will be more given unto thee. To restore you, friends, what do we have to lose? We are in this journey. You must know the end for you to understand your journey and accept and embrace it. Now watch carefully again. Thus say the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come a people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before Jehovah and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Ye, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before thee. Thus say the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that the God is with you. Amen. See, God will reveal who you are and prove who you are, that your enemies will come with fear and with reverence and with respect and honor you at your feet. In due season, watch Joseph again. Now therefore fear ye not. Therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones and be comforted. And he comforted them and speak kindly unto them. There's Joseph. There's them that Joseph now has the power to stand in the stead of God. And even the ones who did evil to him, he could say, all right, enter into the second resurrection. Enter into life. He has the power. He stands in the stead of God. Don't worry about your children. Let me tell you the wisdom of the Lord. The wisdom of the Lord is that he only have a certain amount of names in the Lamb section of the book. And you cannot intimidate your children or intimidate your spouse to put their names on the Lamb's book. If they're not there and they want to live peaceably with you, let them live peaceably. Know that there are sections in the book. And know that you are going to, at the end, sit in the stead of God at the white throne. Why force them? Why intimidate them? Why manipulate them to come to church? For whose sake? You think that honors God? When they have come of age, while they are underage, they live by your rules. When they are over age, you think it honors God? Because you don't understand that there are sections in the book. Find their section where they are. Or pray for them that Lord, but you will stand in the end for them. Why be afraid? Why be afraid? If you know who you are, why would you be afraid? Oh, isn't he wonderful? The importance of your enemies. God chooses your enemies. I'm so thankful. I don't want a little shrimp of an enemy. I don't want. If God give me an enemy, I want a giant. Yes, sir. I want like a Beckett. You know, I want a big giant to fight. I don't want no little shrimp. I want a man that has influence and other people listen to him. Yeah. I want a Goliath. Let my name go down for Goliath. You see? Your enemies is more important than your friends. What can your friends do for you? Help you when you're, you know, down. And well, if your friends help you before you go to God, I don't know if he's helping you. Maybe he should let you go pray more. But your enemies, oh, he can help you now. He can kick you in the shin and see if you could forgive. He could provoke you to see if you have patience and temperance. Oh, your enemy is important. You see, the way up for man is down with God. It's the opposite. Who do you need the most, friends or enemies? No, Oh, you need your enemies. You need character for your journey. That's why God makes sure Moses had a good enemy. And when he delivered from Pharaoh, he makes some enemy of his own camp. I cannot hear you. Then he make enemy of his own tribe. Then he make enemies of his own family when he married the Ethiopian woman. And his own family began to mock him. You see, you need your enemies. Your enemies is the tool God uses to produce perfection. Your enemies are what we call necessary evil. Hitler was a necessary evil. Without Hitler, the Jews would not be in their homeland. And if the Jews were not in their homeland, then there is no bride being called in Revelation 10:1. Is Hitler necessary evil? Was Pharaoh necessary evil? Isn't that not true? Well, I have some necessary evil in my life. God raised them up. And guess what? If you see it right, you would see it as God's grace to you and I. Necessary evil. It's needful. These people are needful in our life. I know you say, I got a boss. He's a necessary evil. He's, yeah, definitely. All right? Yes, definitely. But when you see, you start saying, my wife is a necessary evil. Well, boy, I tell you what. Was Pharaoh necessary evil? Was the serpent and the guardian necessary evil? Was Cain a necessary evil? Was Hitler a necessary evil? They are necessary. If God don't see a necessity for them, then God is a God of confusion. They are an important part of the training. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Who does he use to afflict? Enemies. I now know that I need enemies, necessary evil in my life. I also know that I must be criticized and have tribulation and persecution and everything that you could think of. Why? To prove that I'm genuine gold. I could stand in the midst of it all. And then he will prove to my enemy, this is the real thing. This is not, this one don't have identity crisis. They know that they are. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. See, I'm going to skip a lot of these. Okay, I'll close. I want to give you 4 or 5 scriptures. I want you, can you go to some of them, brother? I want you to go to, now you're the Ephesian bride. 2 Timothy 3. And 10. I don't know why it is. I always end up last in the pulpit here. I always end up late. Here's what Paul is telling. The apostle is telling his young elder. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. I also know you know the persecutions, the afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Again, go up. Yea, and now Paul tells you, look now, that's me, but I want to talk about you. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See, all. And while we suffer persecution, the evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast seen assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Okay? All right. Again, let us go to the book of John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulations. But be ye of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You will have it. It is for a purpose. Amen. Matthew 5:10. Watch now. You say, Brother Tony, what shall I do when I'm persecuted? Scoffed at. Oh, watch carefully. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. Ah, see. Are you being persecuted for your right revelation? Are you being persecuted for following the truth? Then it says, be happy, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know your end. You're happy to be persecuted. You say, you're foolish. No, the Bible tells me, count it all joy, the fiery trials. It is how you're looking at it. It's how you look at life this new year coming. It's how you look at following the ministry this new year coming. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Two gods. You all believe in two gods, two lords. You all believe in, oh, for my sake. Watch the next verse. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I know my end. I know my end. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Let me give you a couple of them that you might really like. Hebrews 11:32. This is your company. This is who you are. This is the group you belong to. Oh, it's not in that Bible. Watch carefully. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell about Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Japheth and of David, also of Samuel and of the prophets. That's what exactly Matthew 5. What can we say about them? They were persecuted. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and also quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the alien. Women received their dead, raised again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. That's you. That's me. That's the true elect bride. And it does not change in any country. I don't care if you speak Hindi, they're going to persecute you in Hindi. Chinese, they'll persecute you in Chinese. And lies doesn't mean anything to language. Because they'll tell you you're a lie, you're a true God believer in Chinese as much as they tell you in Hindi. In English. It changes not. So I say to you, this new year, I know that there is an Ephesian bride here. I know that you're in the Ephesian pattern. I know that you have life because you are spiritually multiplying. And this is how you're part of that multiplication. Brother Bram talked about in an apostolic work, he talked about a mother church. He talked about Branham Tabernacle. And he said, out of that mother church, they must have fellowship with the sister churches. So you have a mother church. You have EFT. That is the work. Out of EFT, first came Brother Ashok. From Ashok, who has three works in his country. Out of Ashok, he took it to Madagascar. Madagascar is the pastor Yvonne. Yvonne has three pastors that are working on the same revelation, taking it to them. And now they are churches believing those truths. Out of Ashok, we went to Roderick Island. We baptized this very year. We baptized the pastor there in Roderick. So now there's a church in Roderick. after Ashok came Brother Sunan. Ashok is the apostle for French Africa and the French islands, Rodrigue, Reunion, so forth, and Madagascar. Then you have Brother Sunan, the apostle for Asia. These two, I have known these men for more than 17 years. There you have Ashok. There you have Sunan. And no matter how hard they tried to fight out of Sunan, now you have Brother Billmore, Brother Luke Longdong. Longdong has about 5 churches under him. Billmore has about 3 or 4 churches under him. You have Longdong, you have Billmore. Now you have Nestor Arevalo. That's Philippines. And the work is just booming. It's just expanding in the last trip I made there, in one time I baptized 54. And before that, I baptized another 20. That's within just maybe a year and a half. And not talking about how much Brother Sunan has baptized. See? Then out of this same church here came South America, Guyana, South America. And that's Brother Dennis Lee. Out of this came 2 churches in Trinidad. One, Brother Devanand and Brother Henry. Out of this same group comes 2 churches in Barbados, Brother Joel and Brother Oscar in Barbados, the Caribbean. Then comes Brother Louis. And out of Louis, in the same country, comes out Johannesburg, Brother Kurt. And then you have Victor and Nestor, Victor and Joel and that group, Enslin, that is Cape Town. Then from EFT comes again, Namibia. Really, out of Namibia came Cape Town. See? Then out of Louis and Namibia comes out Brother Pedro from Mozambique. He has 3 main churches under him. And he has about 11 outreaches. Then you have, out of Brother Sunan, we have Abu Dhabi, which is Brother Ace. Then we have Brother Ricardo from Maryland and Brother John. Then, out of Cape Town, all meetings, Brother Victor and Brother Monroe, all of them were already outside, but there was no fellowship. Out of that same group comes Brother Paul and Brother James from Zimbabwe. Then, out of Ashok, this new year, him and I, we went to Europe for the first time. The Lord has never allowed me to work Europe. And in Amsterdam, now you have Brother Valfred. Brother Valfred now was supposed to come to the convention. He couldn't come because he had an open door to go to Malawi. Now we took him to Malawi. We already have 1 or 2 people who are listening in Malawi. But now he presented God in Malawi and he said, now it seems like they are asking for the material and interested. I don't know. I know I left out, but I don't know where I'm leaving out. There's believers in Singapore listening in, but no pastor, no elder. There are believers that are listening in Saudi Arabia, no pastor. Okay. Did I leave anybody out? Brother Ghana, family listening in Ghana, 1 or 2 of them. Malaysia, Brother Jesse Ang. Same problem. Malaysia. So friends, spiritual multiplication is true. And I believe that you are part of it. I know I've kept you over the new year and we have communion. But let me say this. Let's just say this. Let's say you were not here. You think Brother Pedro would have been able to be in contact and be trained and get the material and long suffer. You are a very important part. And I say this for all the flock. I say this for Eagle Faith Tabernacle, for the elders that are listening in, and for the faithful who have so supported this ministry over the years. God bless you this new year. To Namibia, to Cape Town, to Johannesburg, to Zimbabwe, to Mozambique, to the Caribbean, to South America, to Maryland. The Lord bless you this new year. For the elders who have not mentioned, God bless you, Brother Ace. May God strengthen you, give you courage. May God bless your people and give them wisdom. And continue to support one another. Support your each one, elders supporting one another. Have faith and love one towards another. And I believe that if we can bring up and train up a true fivefold whose motive and objective is right, that money cannot corrupt them, popularity cannot corrupt them, their own self-ambition cannot corrupt them, I believe that we will dress a bride for Jesus Christ. I thank you for all your sacrifices. I thank you for this, the efforts that each one of you make in contributing to support your pastor, and for the visitors who spend their time and resources to be here, Sister Chris, Brother Mitchell, Brother Aaron, and my wife, and Anna. God bless each and every one of you. And let us stand. As we change the order of the service, I'm going to close this part of it in prayer. Heavenly Father, we see ourselves so perfectly in the story of Joseph. The covenanted people who has got a glimpse that she was raised up to be and sit on a throne and queen. And to know that if she had seen her in the promised word, how her enemies and brethren will come and do honor at her feet. And Lord, if that vision is so real to Joseph that he never found, we never find in the scriptures of Joseph complaining. And we see Joseph making choices, not compromising, but choices that show forth his character. I just pray, oh God, that that vision of Joseph becomes more of a reality in our hearts. As Joseph, there's not one thing written about him. May it also be, Father, that this elect group, there's not one thing written against her. And as your word declare, is though she has never done it. We are thankful for this pastor. We are thankful for the elders that support him. We are thankful for every member that contribute in Durban, in this assembly. And I thank you for all the elders all over the world. May you bless them and bless their people, those who in every way do all that they can to cause the body of Christ to spiritually multiply, to empower it to multiply. Bless them, Father, also. Remembering, Father, our flock home at Eagle Faith, Brother Willingham, Brother Jones, Brother John Homer, their family, Lord, and the different ones that stand in, Lord, Brother Nate, Nathaniel, Sister Mimi, Lord, all those who just really put their efforts together to, Lord, to support the work and the ministry and the people, bless them also. And as we look to communion, Father, may it be something special to know, Lord, that we could serve one another as we serve one another even around the world. Let us wash one another, Lord, and long-suffer one another faults, knowing that we are in the body of Christ, and in Him there is no fault. We are thankful, Father, and we ask your blessings upon this communion, upon your children, and may it be pleasing unto you. Forgive us our sins, our iniquities, confess our faults, Father, one to another, and make this new year special in communion and fellowship for us. Closer drawn to thee, for we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Brother Louis.